The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 82 of Wealth Talk. My name's Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you again. Episode 82.
Yeah, we're motoring through these, and it won't be too long when we hit the big 100. So I reckon that'll probably be around about February, March next year. So
ooh,
not too long.
My birthday.
And we've had some great feedback, actually, from last week's episode where we had Lisa Brown, who talked to us about the Supported Living Gateway. And lots of people in the Wealth Builders Facebook community commenting. And that's been really enjoyable.
Yeah, I can see the value of that, you know, from all sorts of angles, as we mentioned before. In fact, we had a call with one of our members today, didn't we, Chris, who's very much a business owner. And he saw that as a business transaction. You know, you can see the value of a long-term let to a local authority or care, or you know, someone responsible for care, and definitely saw it as different, sort of a combination of property and business. And I think it's always good when you can get leverage, as we will hear, of course, also from today's guest.
And we talk about the seven pillars, but within each of those pillars, there's multiple different strategies. So we're continuing with the property pillar this week and looking at a different strategy. And again, our guest, who will be speaking in just a few moments, talks about coming from a professional corporate life. Lisa last week was in nursing and then transitioning and obviously taking those first steps into something completely new, property investing, and just getting the right education, just starting with small steps and then building up to quite magnificent things, as we'll hear today.
It's always good. I always admire people when they take a leap of faith, you know, that nervous feeling people get when they're on the cusp of making a big decision, you know, that heady mix of excitement and a bit of fear. But when excitement wins and people take actions, you know, with a little bit of safety net, always important not to burn your bridges, as we'll hear today from Stephanie. So you could position her and what she does, and then we'll debrief at the end.
Yes, Stephanie Taylor is the co-founder, along with her sister Nikki, of HMO Heaven, and they're a leading HMO management and development company based in Wales. And Stephanie's achieved some great things over the last few years. So let's head on and listen to the conversation with Stephanie Taylor right now. Stephanie, welcome to Wealth Talk.
Christian, it's lovely to be here. Thank you.
Stephanie, very much looking forward to hearing your story, your journey today. And why don't we kick off by just letting our listeners know a little bit about what you do and really the strategies that you're focusing on within the property investment industry.
Well, we run HMO Heaven, a property management company, and we obviously invest in properties ourselves as well. And we accidentally stumbled upon a strategy which has proved to be very fruitful, and that is multi-unit blocks. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today.
Okay. Yeah, we are indeed. So for someone who perhaps hasn't got an idea what a multi-unit block is, what exactly are we talking about here?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Christian. The first time I heard it called a multi-unit block was by the lenders, the commercial finance lenders. They refer to them as multi-unit blocks, and that's just sort of come into my parlance now. But it's what people would know as converted flats. Typically, it'll be a house converted into self-contained units and all on one title. That's how we like them, usually in bad condition and all on one title.
Okay. And you're in Wales, Stephanie.
Yeah.
And yeah, is right. This something that you've spotted? Is this a particular kind of niche that is in your area? Are you seeing people around the rest of the UK also finding this favourable?
All around the UK. How we fell into it, Christian, many people fall into good things from bad things. So we were trying to buy HMOs and there was a lot of competition and we kept missing out. Sometimes it was lender downvaling. Sometimes it was that, you know, there was so much competition for each property that the prices went beyond what we were prepared to pay. And so we started looking at, you know, properties that were a bit larger. And that is how we came across the one that we bought last year, which is a 12-unit property, 10 studios. Well, they're not quite studios, but I'll just, for brevity, say 10 studios, a two-bedroom flat and a little shop on the front. And some of the benefits that we found through buying these multi-unit blocks is that the cost of buying 12 properties, even in Wales, which is much cheaper than a lot of areas of the country, is much less when you buy them all in one. So, for example, the property that we bought, there was £375,000, which equates to less than £32,000 per unit. Now, the rental income for majority of them, for 10 of them, is £450 a month. For the two-bedroom flat is £600 a month. And for the little shop is £300 a month. So I sailed that. So £450 a month. Now, even in the valleys of Wales, which is much cheaper than where we are in Newport, you cannot buy a single rental unit, a house or a flat, for £32,000. The rental income you get in from that £60,000 flat will be very similar to that £450 that we're getting. So there's immense leverage within this multi-unit block. And this was a bit of a revelation to me when I was going over the numbers looking at, oh my gosh, £32,000 per unit. That is, that's incredible. And before then, we also have some other multi-unit blocks. One is a commercial property that we bought with intention to convert to an HMO, but our architect actually came up with four self-contained units, which works beautifully. And another one that we bought is, it's already been converted into four flats, but it wasn't quite finished. And it was, I wouldn't say done badly, but there was still a lot to do, which means a lot of potential there to add value. And so we have that one as well. And what we want to do going forward is to continue with this strategy.
And how much of a step up is this strategy, Stephanie, from, you know, typical buy-to-let? Like, how much more is involved when it gets to the size of kind of 12 plus units?
Well, yes, the 12 plus units, especially if it involves commercial, you have got more challenges there on managing. Now, if you have a great team in place to manage your properties for you, or you're quite confident about self-managing, then that's fine. But that would be a barrier. The next thing that would be a barrier, more fundamentally, is the finance for that type of property is more restricted. So first of all, if your property includes a commercial element, then you will need commercial property finance. And that tends to be more demanding in terms of what you need to be able to prove about yourself. So usually they will want to see experience of ownership and management of a similar sized commercial element property. So that, again, is restricted. But the thing where I feel that this strategy is really fantastic for beginners is where you buy, we will have all have seen, you know, you can go to Right Move right now and find them in your area, is one house has been converted into two flats or three flats. That is ideal. If you're a very beginner, then you might want to do that with friends or family members and each live in a flat, or live in the flat to start off with, and then rent your flat out as you move up the property ladder and so on. So there's lots of ways that you might be able to get in as a beginner, starting off with smaller number of units and all residential, which is easier to finance and manage, and then moving up to bigger units. For a more experienced investor, it's no jump at all.
Mm. And then from kind of where the multi-unit blocks sit, is that covering almost the B&B type property as well, Stephanie?
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, so bed and breakfasts now that often are coming onto the market, and a lot of our members, yeah, and community are looking at that kind of strategy of taking over a B&B. So Would you call that a part of the multi-block strategy?
Yes. In fact, you're getting a bit ahead because I was the strategies that I'm very excited about for this year and moving forward as we go into probable recession, falling property prices, etc., is, yes, commercial to residential is going to be phenomenal. And especially all over the country, but especially in areas like ours, where there's no permitted development because it means fewer other people are going for the same properties. But the particular categories of commercial property that I think are going to be offer a special opportunity are care homes and care homes and B&Bs. The reasons why these are especially opportune is because they tend to be low profit businesses. That means that the purchase price is lower. It means that the financing options are usually lower. The percentage loan to value is usually lower because the banks like to be cautious, especially at the moment. So what all that means is that the owners are often open to a creative strategy such as a lease option, exchange with late completion, etc., which mean that you're able to buy the property without tying so much money up into it. The other great thing about this, Christian, was that the 10 studios which take up the bulk of the property were massively undersold, if you will, in rental terms, rental income terms, because when we bought the property, they were rented out for £260 each. Now, in our area, £400 is a very average for a room, and these are almost studios. So we're renting them out post-refurb at £450 a month. Now, as you know, with commercial property, the value of the property is in part determined by the rental income. And so our rental income per unit on those studios has gone from £260 to £450. So although we haven't had the property actually valued, revalued since the refurbishment, we feel that we forecast that the value will have increased dramatically from what it was at purchase. So we think we'll be able to cash out.
I guess as well, because you're kind of stepping up slightly from standard buy to lets in terms of competition, the air's a little bit thinner out there.
Yeah. You would be surprised because it's actually not that big a leap because you can see by the numbers I've talked about there, 375, that's not a stratospheric. But there are much, much fewer people who A, are even looking at this, and B, who have the skills to be able to either manage it or have a team to manage it. You would think that most people would have that, but actually no. The very fact that it has the little shop on the front puts people off as well. And also, as I said, the financing, it's more challenging on the finance front. But newer people can partner with experienced people to be able to move forward with projects like this.
Yeah, that was actually going to be a question that I had, Stephanie, is, you know, what do you find holds people back from actually taking that step?
I think people overestimate the complexity of something like this as compared with managing 12 single lets. Most people, if they're on this journey, well, let's make it a bit more achievable. Let's say you had the opportunity to buy a block of six, or you would be managing six single lets. Most people wouldn't think twice about gradually building up to six single lets, but they would perhaps balk at the idea of buying six all in a block. And actually, in actual fact, six all in a block is easier. The first time you do it, you will have to overcome some challenges that we've talked about financing and about the right kind of experience. But once you've done that once, it's done, and all of your costs, your management, your refinances, all in one place. And that it just lightens, because imagine us moving forward, if we want to move towards 100 owned rental units, how much easier is it for us to do that in blocks of 12 or 24 or more than it would be to buy 100 single-let units with 100 roofs and 100 boilers and all of that extra complexity. So in my experience, this is actually a much simpler strategy.
Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting, Stephanie, and I really want to now, for our listeners, just rewind a little bit, because it was only just a few years ago that you were kind of finding your route into property, and to hear where you're at now is just incredible, and congratulations for that. But tell us a little bit about the steps that have come before reaching the multi-block unit strategy.
Yeah, it's I sometimes, a Christian, have difficulty believing of where we are. I went to look at that property we've just talked about, and we had an interior designer for the first time, and I was just looking around thinking, I can't believe that I'm here. And one of the neighbors came up, and she was asking our builder, what we're doing with the shop. And I just sort of joined the conversation, and I was explaining we hadn't decided what we were going to do with the shop, and talking about the ideas we had. And she was just visibly really taken aback that I own the building and the shop, and I was able to show her some of the other units and so on. But I'm also taken aback, because how it all started out was that it started off as a teenage mum, really struggling financially, but not only that, really struggling, low self-esteem and low goals, really, about what sort of things that I felt that I could achieve in life. And it's been a long and winding road to where we are now. But to fast forward a little bit for the sake of brevity, about 5 years ago, I was working in a bank as a contractor, reasonably well paid. And I had my mum got ill. And I think, and when I listen to your podcast, Christine, you hear the stories of when people make the decision. And it's often everyday things happen, and it just triggers something inside them, which makes them think, right, this is it. I've got to change, or I've got to do something different. And for me, it was my mum called me one morning. I was getting ready for work. I was living in Bristol. I was living in a lovely harbourside flat. My job at the bank was just a hop, skip and a jump, a lovely walk. And I enjoyed life to a certain degree. But when mum called me, I was sort of rushing her off the phone, sort of thinking about all the things that I had on for that day, presentations, and was I going to be late, and, I don't really have time. And the thing is, she was calling me in the morning because she was ill at that time. She wasn't feeling too good. I'm just speculating that she just needed a bit of reassurance. And it was when I was sitting at my desk that afternoon, I just thought, oh, this doesn't matter. I'm making the bank the most important thing in my life, and actually it doesn't matter. And, my relationships matter. It matters that I'm there for mum. It matters, those are the things that matter. So I thought, how can I make my life able for me to live in the way that I value, so that my values match up with my actions? And I just thought, it's business. But I didn't feel that I had the skills to be able to go into business. It felt like there's all these secrets that people know that I don't know, and I'm not from that business world. And so I then mulled on it for a while, and I came up with property because I see that normal people, ordinary people, as I thought, going into property and giving up their 9-to-5 jobs. And I thought, I could potentially do that. Why don't I look into that more? And it just sort of all went on from there, Christian, that I just put one step in front of the other, and eventually started off myself.
Yeah. And what was your first kind of first foray into property? How did you generate your first £100 or your first £500?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just takes me back. I was so lucky, Christine, because my sister Nikki, I told her about this property idea and she came in with me. Thank goodness for that, because we may have time to come on to that later. But she came in with me and I had heard, I was going to different property events and listening and thinking, oh my gosh, that's so incredible what all these people are doing, developments, new builds. But the stories obviously that I could relate to most were people who just seemed ordinary people like me, starting off with not a huge amount of money and making it work in property. And I heard about Rent to Rent and I didn't have a huge amount of confidence about my business savvy, should we say. And so I thought, I can do that, because I saw that lots of people were doing house share management badly, HMO management badly. And I thought, I can do that better simply by adding care. And so that's how we started off in Rent to Rent, and we set up HMO Heaven, which is an HMO management company.
Mm. And then how long did it take to transition, you know, to a point where you had enough income being generated from property to start covering your lifestyle?
Right. Well, we, you know, I, at the time when I had this light bulb moment, was 45. And so I moved pretty quickly after years of sort of decades of not very much happening. It sort of all was, it was almost like that. So at the beginning of January, I started going to these events and I was still contracting in Bristol. And I started to, I decided Newport was the place in Wales. It's near Cardiff, not too far from Bristol, about an hour. And so I was coming over to Newport to do the viewings on weekends. And I had, from what I'd gleaned from books, etc., it was going to take a little while before I was to get any property. So worthwhile to start asking well in advance of needing. But we were fortunate in that one of the very first properties that we viewed, we got. And in fact, it wasn't one property, it was two from the same landlord. And that was in the June of 2016. So the January I started investigating, in the June of 2016, we hear that we've got this property. So I'm still working at the bank in Bristol. And I was so excited. I could hardly think straight. I was all property. And so they offered me to, would I like to extend my contract for another 6 months, which would have been the sensible thing to do. But I did have some savings. And I couldn't think about anything else. So I just said, no, I won't extend. I moved to Newport. I moved into one of the two properties, which were both empty because we were refurbing them. And it all went from there. And I just thought, right, we'll use our savings until we can afford to start paying ourselves a little bit. And if it doesn't work out, we can always go back to work.
Mm. Yeah. And then within 6 months?
Oh, how long did it take? So the properties started cash flowing. Oh, we spent a fortune on those properties. Yeah, we spent a fortune on those properties due to haplessness and greenery. And so what we'd said was that when we were making a certain amount, now I can't remember what the cash flow amount was, we were going to start paying ourselves £500 a month each, which wouldn't have been enough to cover, but it sort of helps our savings to stretch on for longer. So I would say within the first year we started that, and then we put it up to 1,000, and then gradually we put it up more. But as I say, we couldn't have done it if we didn't have the savings, and also the fact that we didn't have, you know, my son was growing up, we didn't have responsibilities in that sense, like a family, and all of that, so we could live off savings.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking really from where we are today, Stephanie, 5 years that you've built up the rent-to-rent business, which has led into obviously, you know, the HMO management and now the multi-blocks. So when you look back and think 5 years, how does that make you feel?
I just feel so delighted that I started, because I had so much doubt and fear to overcome, and You know, mindset is talked about so much in property, isn't it, Christian? It's all, but it's so true that at the time I didn't have the mindset to feel that I could get straight in and start buying properties or, you know, receiving finance from people or any of that. But I had the, I had enough confidence to think I can manage properties with care. And that's what we did. And that's where we started. So yeah, I'm just delighted that I started, because so many of us don't start. And for many, 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 many years, you know, I didn't start anything new or that could take me towards dreams. Even the dreams were too big for my mind at the time. So, yeah.
So no regrets, and you don't wish you were still sat behind that desk right now?
Definitely not. And the incredible thing is that each step leads to the next step. So we had the rent-to-rent business, and then we started buying the properties, and we also, as a result of that, a lot of people were asking, oh, how do you do that? How do you send your letters? How do you get the deals and so on? And we started also a training company for rent-to-rent, and that helped us move forward a lot in terms of our mindset as well, because we're helping people get past their mindset blocks. And that helps us also get past our new mindset blocks. And as the final part, I'm sure it won't be the final part to it, but as another piece to it, we originally heard of you because we're setting up a SaaS pension as well, so that we can more efficiently use the profits from our business to continue investing in property and other assets.
Yeah. Well, we talk about, you know, connections, relationships, ideas, everything just leads to something else, doesn't it? And no, it's, you know, wonderful that we've managed to connect and hear your story today. Just finally, Stephanie, what's your vision? Where do you see things? Where would you like things to be in the next 5 years or so?
Well, we really want to build on all of the three businesses. We want to move our assets up from where they are now, where we own 28 units, up to 100 units. And the one thing that's really been important to us is doing business for good. And one of the things that really helped with that was a podcast I listened to, and it was all about the 1% pledge. And it was about giving consistently from wherever you are right now. And although we were already giving to charity, it was sort of hit and miss here and there. And when I heard this 1% pledge, it just really changed the way that I was thinking about business. And what it says is that you can give 1% of where you are now. So it might be 1% of your salary, it might be 1% of your income, it might be 1% of your revenue, 1% of your profit, 1% of your time. So it means everyone can give. And for most of us who are watching or listening to this, we actually think, oh, 1%, that's actually not enough. I can actually do a lot more than that. And so we signed up with a B1, G1, which stands for buy one, give one. And so we're giving every day through our business, and that just feels phenomenally good. And we obviously want to grow that element of things. So if anyone's listening today and they want to take one thing away from this, I would love it to be that, and for them to start giving in 1% pledge.
That's wonderful. Yeah, big shout out to Paul Dunn and Masami there for you know, B1 G1 initiative. Yeah. Thanks so much, Stephanie. I hope and I'm sure that everyone listening today will be inspired by your story. And you have so much information that you actually give out yourself. You've been very humble today, but I know you have a book, you have a podcast. And where's the best place for someone to go if they just want to connect with you online, Stephanie, and see what else you're up to?
Brilliant. Well, we have a website at hmoheaven.co.uk, and on there you can see this 12-unit block and some before and after pictures there, and that's all about the HMO management side. If anybody's interested in finding out more about rent-to-rent, we also have a website at rent2rentsuccess.com, and you can get some information and free guides there too.
Okay, a lot of interesting points there for us to debrief, Kevin, but before we dive into that, can I read out a couple of our latest reviews for you from Trustpilot?
Did people pay attention and actually make some contribution and tell us that we're doing okay, Chris?
They sure have. They sure have. So thank you. We can't read all of them out, but thank you so much to those of you that have posted a review on Trustpilot and Google. And those are the two main places, actually, which we are really, really appreciating people's comments at the moment. And let me pick up on Chris Henry. And we know Chris Henry well. He's actually featured on Wealth Talk in the past. And Chris has said no other wealth program to match it in his view. And when he started his wealth journey 7 years ago, Wealth Builders didn't exist. But he was fortunate enough, however, to have been mentored by you, Kevin, and that put himself and his family on the fast track to financial independence. And he says you can now join the fast track with the Wealth Builders step-by-step modular process, which is based on an extraction of the insights, expertise, and vast experience of Kevin. And not only is it a process, but it is a community of people who are supporting, sharing, and helping each other on their wealth journey without any sales, just support. So thank you, Chris, for that.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? And it's so good to hear from people who have kind of come through the program, albeit it wasn't a program then, it was just me mentoring people with my own IP, as Chris identified there. Actually, I must thank Chris because he was one of the ones that said to me, hey, Kevin, you've just got to get this down on paper, you know, for other people to enjoy and benefit. And you helped me do that, Chris. So you've, you know, been kind of responsible for making this accessible as well. So, you know, the cost of the program now is a fraction of what it would be if I was delivering it on my own. So that was great of Chris to say so. Any more? One more. We can have room for one more.
Yeah. So Justin Vermack, and Justin says, I made the right choice, exclamation mark. So it's not often I managed to make the right decision on the first go. I had a few options available to me in setting up my SaaS, but a conversation with Gary Whelan helped me to go with Wealth Builders. And the Wealth Builders team have made the process of setting up my SaaS very simple to understand and execute. The team are great advocates of gaining control of one's financial future, and their experience in the world of SaaS pensions is invaluable. I'm only at the start of my journey, but looking forward to working with the team in the future. And many thanks to Paul Brooks as a final shout out there for all of his advice and support.
All right, toot, toot, toot. Haven't we got a few trumpets blown? but interesting, a lot of people might not know, just as Stephanie revealed that she collaborates, you know, with Leveraged in a family with her sister, Nikki. My brother Gary is a part of the SaaS team, and as an ex-IFA and a broker, used to work in internationally as well. He's done a great job in bringing his expertise to help share that SaaS knowledge, and Stephanie and her sister are getting access to that as well. So, you know, a couple of things to draw the threads of that together, Chris.
We talk about leverage a lot, Kevin, a key ingredient in the wealth building process. And certainly the strategy of the multi-unit block is definitely using leverage.
Crumbs. I mean, if you think about what she said, the simplicity of it, didn't she? You know, I just did a quick division. The number of properties divided by the total price is less than I could buy any single unit for. And that's quite an obvious thing when you say it out loud. But so few people think about it that way. And also the leverage of, if you've got a plan, you know, everybody's got a wealth building objective, well, at least I hope they have by now, if they've listened to us, Chris, to establish that, what's the number you need to be financially secure? What's the number you need to be financially independent? How would you measure that in dollars, pounds, or whatever currency you're in? And then what are you, it's going to take for you to get there? Well, if you can buy multi-units, manage multi-units, and get the leverage of multi-units, yes, there's some knowledge to learn, of course there is, but then you can get there so much more quickly. And that's an important part of leverage, Chris. It's an acceleration, but it takes some thinking and planning to work out, well, how slow will it be if you don't do anything? And for most people, it's a 30-odd, 40-year journey, isn't it? If you just bank on the stock market, save some money from your job or from your business and hope the stock market serves you, well, you know, you can tell that Stephanie's very eloquently sharing what she does, and very elegantly too. You know, I think it's a very clever thing that she's doing, and humble too. And I like that, the humility's on. You can see that loud and clear, can't you, Chris?
Obviously, Stephanie's built up the knowledge and the education around the strategy, but we can't underestimate the mindset aspect as well here. And, you know, many people would look at a large multi-unit block and just think, oh, that's you know, too difficult, too far beyond where I'm at. And I know one of your favorite books that you've just been reading or listening to at the moment, Kevin, Who Not How. So, you know, if you don't know how to do something, then this is where the collaboration and connection, because there's always someone else who's already done those things, which you can go to and learn and get that confidence from.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what I like about the who, not how concept is, first of all, if you're investing with a who, you're looking for a who, it demonstrates your own commitment to your own objectives. If you try and DIY it, pretty much doesn't work. You know, you'll end up just backsliding, or you're not really committed. The second thing I like is when you find the right people, it's an investment. You know, they should add more value than they cost. And then somebody who's giving service, you know, whatever way it is, whether it's an accountant, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a coach, a mentor, or a guide, if they are serious about what they do, they should be willing to commit that they will give you more value than you get. So that if that's true, then it's an investment you're making, it's not a cost. So I like that, you know, she's made an investment. I also like the fact that, like anybody, Chris, she had a catalyst to kick her off. You know, that experience with a family, just like I had a catalyst with a family. It's always good to know that the first kind of compelling action starts from a position of valuing your family more than you value what you're doing.
Yeah, it's interesting as well. Stephanie started around about 2016, so kind of 5 years into it now. And people often ask us, Kevin, don't they, you know, how long is it going to take? How long will it take me to reach financial independence? And of course, that's not the same for everyone, but as a kind of benchmark, we often say, you know, 5 to 7 years is realistic if you're committed, if you take action every month. And, you know, Stephanie has taken action, and she started with a strategy, which was the rent-to-rent strategy. And, you know, she's worked her way up, but she's been consistent. And that's the key, isn't it? If you are consistent, you will reach your goals.
Yeah. And I think what she gave there was, I don't know if you heard it, Chris, but it was a subtle statement she made that she invested in some education. That's clear. Now, that's good. That means she was looking for a who, and that's fine. So she made an investment. But what she discovered through the lens of her own mindset, she said, you know, I can do this better if I just bring an element of care. You know, so what she was about was bringing her own internal values to try and make sure that the result that everybody got from that transaction, you know, the landlord whose property it belonged to, the tenant, everybody in that, the stakeholders in that process were getting great value. And if you come from that place of integrity, and then you just give yourself an accelerant, you get yourself some leverage somewhere else, but you keep those same values, it can be shocking how fast you can move. So it doesn't need to take 10, 15, 20 years, as most people might do on their own. It can be done in 5 to 7 years, and in some cases even more if you've got more time, which is the key to all of this, of course, and more money, the combination of the two. But the interesting thing, again, as I listened to, you know, her conversation with you, Chris, is how important it was to feel like she was taking little steps. That little steps meant momentum, that you compound by starting. You don't compound by imagining the end. You just take the first step. The first step leads to the second step. And the fact that you're moving, the landscape changes. And when the landscape changes, you see different things. You meet different people. It's a journey of discovery wealth. We've talked about this many times. And she was on that journey. You know, she discovered more things that she didn't know before, but she would never have discovered them had she not had momentum in the first place.
Where she mentioned, Kevin, about there being a commercial element to this strategy as well, that allows her then to obviously access her SaaS or SaaS funds. And that's obviously leverage of some of the other pillars that we talk about.
Quite right too. So, you know, I think in a very short conversation, I think you and Stephanie together have brought out all the wealth building lessons, really. The catalyst, the leverage, the who, not how, taking steps every month, Also taking time to reflect back, and I think you asked her a good question, and she looked back and she was astounded at how far she'd come, and then had even bigger ambitions, you know, so what was it, 100 units, you know, and she would never have probably begun her journey when she was at the beginning, that imposter syndrome, if you remember, thinking she wasn't good enough. She wouldn't have had a plan there for 100 units. That only comes by taking those first baby steps. So I'd encourage everybody to take small steps. If you haven't yet started on your wealth, take the first step. You know, go back, listen to some of the podcasts that we've done. Take the first step in choosing, you know, or the first step in reading something, that, or the first step in connecting with someone. That just takes you beyond inertia to taking that first step. And I hope some people are inspired by Stephanie to go on and do that.
Absolutely. And if anyone is looking to build their wealth and play the long game and understand that this is not something that will happen overnight, then we'd love to invite you to take a look at wealthbuilders.co.uk/7steps to wealth. And you can find the details of our program, working with Kevin, myself, our wealth coaches, on your own unique wealth plan. And we'd love to support you and help you with that when the time is right.
Sure. And meanwhile, just keep consuming what we have to offer. If it inspires you, or you hear a case study that inspires you to action, then that's great too. So it doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as at some point you find that reason to take that first action, if you haven't yet done so. If you're already on the journey, then just keep going. Every 30 days, do something that contributes to your wealth. And if you can, measure that progress. We call it the wealth thermometer, Chris, don't we? Measuring how much your recurring income is going from nothing to 100, from 100 to 200, from 200 to 500, and so on, until you get to security. And then you celebrate that milestone. And then you move on to independence. And then you move on to abundance. And then you move on to dealing with the whole family legacy and creating a plan for the next generation as well. So it's a very ethical, elegant process. I commend some of you to follow it. And I hope those of you who don't at least get something, you know, that inspires you to do something yourself one day, if not today.
Well, we hope you enjoy listening to today's episode. Thank you, Kevin, as always. And we'll catch up again on the next episode of Wealth Talk.
Well, until then, Chris, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.